Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
Welcome to the Seed Sowing Sista Movement on Google, Spotify, and on the Bashani Radio App. I'm your lead seed sowing sista, Patrice. Thank you for joining me today. To find out more about me, connect with me at patricebrantley.com. So we're jumping into the topic today. Another set of busybodies and another letter. All right, we are coming out of Ezra chapter 5. But today I want to give you a quick recap because we had so much that happened in chapter 4. I want to make sure that you don't miss one absolute moment of this. But before I get into this, I need you to call a friend, text a friend, post on your social media page, send someone to the Bashani Radio app so they can get the app and download and get to all the way together with me on the Seed Sowing Sista movement and connect it to our good word. Once you've done that, make sure you grab your pencil, your paper, and most definitely your Bible. So let's jump into our recap. So here we have here, the enemies of Judah and Benjamin have not heard that the exiles are building this temple for the Lord, of the God of Israel. And they get here and they go straight to the heads of the family, trying to discourage them and tell them, hey, we want to help you because we're just like you. But when the heads of the family say, we already know what this game is, they say, oh, you don't want our help. You don't want us to put our hands to the plow. So they went immediately and hired some people to work against their plans and frustrate their plans. And here's the sad part. When it didn't work, they got real busy and they wrote a letter to the king. And honey, when they wrote this letter to the king, they caused all kind of problems. They got him put on this little good look for the king and was like, oh, we're your servants and we want to tell you what's going on in your kingdom. And if we don't share this light of this evilness going on, you're going to miss out. And it was like, no. But that's what busybodies do. If they can't get you one way, they try to get another way. So today we're picking up in the second part in chapter 5, where these are the same busybodies and they've written another letter. So let's jump right on into this. Now, Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the prophet, the descendants of Edo, prophesied to the Jews in Jerusalem and Judah in the name of the Lord of Israel, who I was over. And Zerubbabel, son of Jeshith, and Jeshua, son of Jehonadab, set to work to rebuild the house of God in Jerusalem. And the prophets of God were with them, helping them. At that time, Tatialiah, the governor of Trans-Euphrates, and Shethan Bothman, their associates, went to them and asked, who authorized you to rebuild this temple and to restore this structure? They also asked, what are the names of the men constructing this building? But the eye of their God was watching over the elders of the Jews, and they were not stopped until a report will go to King Darius. And this was his written reply. This is a copy of the letter that Tatialiah, the governor of Trans-Euphrates, and Chief Bozeman and their associates, the officials of Trans-Euphrates, sent to the king, King Darius. The report they sent to him read as follows, King Darius, cordial greetings. The king should know that we went to the district of Judah, to the temple of the great God. The people are building it with great stones and placing the timbers in its walls. The work is being carried on with diligence and is making rapid progress under their direction. We questioned the elders and asked them, who authorized you to rebuild this temple and to restore this structure? We also asked them their names so that we could write them down and tell the leaders for your information. This is the answer they gave us. We are the servants of God of heaven and earth, and we are rebuilding the temple that was built many years ago, one that the great king of Israel built and finished. But because our fathers angered the God of the heaven, he handed us over to Nebuchadnezzar, the Chaldean, and king of Babylon, who destroyed this temple and deported the people to Babylon. However, in the first year of King Cyrus of Babylon, King Cyrus issued a decree to rebuild the house of God. He even removed from the temple of Babylon the gold and silver articles of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple in Jerusalem and brought to the temple in Babylon. Then King Cyrus gave them to a man named Shabazar, whom he had appointed governor. And he told him, take these articles and deposit them into the temple of Jerusalem and built the house of God on its site. So Shabazar came and laid the foundations of the house of the God in Jerusalem. From that day to the present, it has been under construction, but not yet finished. Now, if it pleases the king, let a search be made for the royal archives of Babylon to see if King Cyrus did in fact issue a decree to rebuild this house of God in Jerusalem. Then let the king send his decision in this matter. Now talk about some busybodies. They couldn't get it done the first time, so they go right back. Don't that sound just like Satan? If he can't get you the first time, he say, oh, I ain't done yet. I'm going to go back and try it again. I got another set that can do it. Let's see how it worked out here. Now you get here, and now we see that these people, these are the people that are being led in the building. They're here by Haggai the prophet, Zechariah the prophet, the descendant of Edo, and they're prophesying to the Jews in Jerusalem and Judea. And the name of God of Israel was with them. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Jeshith, and Jeshua, son of Jehonadab, set to work to rebuild the house of God in Jerusalem. And the prophets of God were with them, helping them. We see two things. We see one, we see godly leadership with godly vision. It's so important when you go into a connection with someone, they have the same vision, the same understanding, the same path in which you're walking. And the most important part of that path that they're walking with you is who they're connected to. Are they a person of God that's helping you get to where you go? Yes, we know God uses any and everyone, but you want to make sure that the person who's leading the charge definitely has a God-led vision. Because without a God-led vision, you are doing nothing but walking around in a circle of confusion. Then we see key C2. In the same field, the prophets and the laborers are working together. So this is what lets you know what is a mark of an excellent leader. They're not over in the corner saying you do all the work and sitting back. They're literally saying, I'm going to be in that same field with you. I'm going to be in that same place with you, building and putting my hands to the plow so that we can see this particular opportunity come together. And we both can rejoice at what we've put our hands to for the kingdom of God. But then look at what these busybodies do. They go to the governor of Tatialia, which is basically Tatialia, the governor of Trans-Euphrates, and to Sheath Bozeman and their associates. And they say to them, who authorized you to rebuild this temple and to restore this structure? Doesn't that sound like the enemy Satan? He always got a bunch of questions and a bunch of come along foolishness and a bunch of friends who want to come and be in the midst of foolishness. That's exactly what this is. Starting off with unnecessary questions. These people are over here building for the Lord, not bothering nobody, living a quiet life. All is good. And he comes up here with his little crowd of foolishness, asking questions that they have no business to know. And then look at what they do. Also, they started asking, since y'all ain't going to tell us who authorized you and who told you to restore this structure, what are the name of the men that's building this structure? So now the questions are becoming more and more pointed questions. So now if I can't get you on who authorized y'all, I'm going to take your name and make it a mess. I'm going to take your name, put it all out here in these streets so that people can say, yep, I know for a fact you're doing X, Y, and Z. But I love how this worked out in verse 5. It said, but the eye of their God was watching over the elders of the Jews, and they were not stopped until a report could go to King Darius. And his written reply was received. What I love about this is no matter how the enemy tries to stop you and tries to break up the union and what you're working with and how to come over here and try to question what unneeded, unnecessary, and question who's in authority and who gave you the head of this project and who's the person doing this, Because that's what Satan do. He tried to throw a monkey wrench in your plan. What I love is that in the midst of this, God's eye was still over them and watching over these elders and the Jews. And they had already made up in their mind they weren't stopping until they heard from King Darius himself. And I love that because it makes a difference. When you know you're on a God-led mission, you're not just getting stopped for any little reason. You're saying, no, I want to hear from the Lord himself. What is he telling me to do? Let me switch off. If the Lord is giving me someone in authority, then I want to hear from their mouth what I'm supposed to do. But then let's go a little further. Once they've written this letter, here's what it said. The copy of the letter that Tatiala, the governor of Trans-Euphrates, and Shithan Bozeman and their associates, the officials of Trans-Euphrates, sent to the King Darius. Look at what this letter says. The report they sent read as follows. First of all, they get here and they start talking about, oh, King Darius, cordial greetings. The king should know that we went to the district of Judea, to the temple of the great God. The people are building it with large stones and placing timbers in the wall. The work is being carried on with diligence and making rapid progress under their directions. There are a couple things I want you to see here. When we get to this section in chapter 5, we see that the enemy, he doesn't have any new strategies in the book. He just goes and says, I'm going to use the same strategy, just some different players. That's exactly what the enemy does in our lives daily. So you may have an issue where it was a problem at one job. You know what the enemy does? He just takes that same strategy he used at that last job and put new players in place. Or if he knows that, hey, you're dealing with an issue in this particular area, let's just pick lust. You're dealing with an issue with lust, all he does is just now what was cute in one situation, he may say, okay, well, you outbeat me on that one. You didn't look over there. That wasn't exactly your type. But then now, this time he sends you exactly what he knows you usually fall for. And he wants to see if it's going to make a difference, if you're going to fall this time. So let's look at this one. Remember, Satan, same strategy, just different players. Then let's look at how these same players use this same strategy again. Notice what they do. They go right here and they start a key C2 in verse 8. The king doesn't need to know. They're just being busy. They're just trying to set up destruction in the process. You ever had somebody do this? They'll say, girl, I'm not gossiping. I'm just informing you of what's going on. Girl, I'm not trying to be in them people's business, but they're doing this, this, and that. You know what that is? Plain old school gossip with a new label. That's all. Then you go ahead a little further. Look at how these people describe the work. This is something that's very interesting. They get here and they say the people are building with large stones and placing timbers in the wall. The work is being carried on with diligence and making rapid progress in their directions. Here's the thing to note. The enemy knows what you do well. If you notice this in the letter, they automatically started talking about, hey, they're working with diligence. And when you're working with diligence and people know that you're doing the job for the Lord and you're doing it with the glory of the Lord on you, of course you're going to make progress. And here's the interesting piece. As they're doing this, they're somewhat bragging on them and don't even realize they're bragging on them. This is why I talk about that, having your own PR team. That PR team you're not paying for, the ones that go and tell all your business and you just like, wow, I wish they'd stop. No, let them go ahead and run their mouth. They're benefiting you. And that's exactly what they were doing in this verse, in verse 8. They were benefiting them by telling them how diligent they were in this job and the progress that they were making. And then let's go a step further. Key C3, they were building with quality materials and strengthening the building. That's why these particular parts are being labeled out about the stones and the timber in the walls. And then when you go to key C4, I'm going to dig a little bit deeper into that. The enemy was calling out who the Lord said these people were. It's amazing how Satan will call you what God has called you to be. Anytime you look in the Bible, when you hear someone who you see in the text and they're being attacked, they're automatically being called out who the Lord has called them to be. And it's amazing because when the enemy calls you your name that the Lord has called you, he's not calling you who you are now. He's calling you for who you want to be in the future. And what he showed in this particular piece here was these people were called diligent. He saw it in just one moment of them being diligent in the building and being steadfast in their effort with the building. But he also knew that these people were steadfast and diligent in their prayer life, in their work life. He already had seen that they were going to be this once that building was built. It's amazing to know that when you get here, God always gives you godly instructions, which is always given to you by the prophets. And in this particular part, we get to see it also given by the king, who God had the heart of this king. And then let's go a step further. Key seed 5. When you listen carefully to what is being said and called out, remember that that's what you're being called out in the spirit realm first. So if you're the person that God is calling out and saying, my daughter, you're powerful, or you hear people always saying to you, you're always with a loud mouth. Guess what? That's exactly what God's going to use, that loud mouth for the kingdom. If you're the one that people are always saying, wow, your singing is just powerful, or you know what, this particular thing that you do, or how you create beautiful imagery in your drawing, that's what God's going to use to glorify him. Then when you get here a little further, notice what happens again. Now, remember, Satan don't use no new strategies, just new players. We get here and then the second part of this letter, and then they go, we questioned the elders and asked them, who authorized you to rebuild this temple and restore this structure? Keep in mind, all they did was take a new person and apply the same strategies. And then they got here, which I found was so interesting. They got here again and started saying, well, now we want your name too. And we also asked them their name. And so we could write them down and name the leaders so that we could give it for your information. Interesting. I didn't need your help. Then look at the response. I love the response that was given. This is the answer that they had been given. We are the servants of God of heaven and earth, and we are rebuilding the temple that was built many years ago, one that a great king of Israel built and finished. First thing you notice, I love that these people were so clear about their purpose and what they have been called to do that they could clearly identify, one, who they are. They identify that they are servants of God. Who and for why they were building? Because they were building for the Lord of heaven and earth. And then they also talked about why they were doing this and who started the project. And they even went back and honored the original king that started in the building process. Then they got here in verse 12 and even told the whole story. You ever had somebody give you just part of a story? And then you're like, wow, they did all that. Not these people. They gave you the whole story. They said, but you know what? Our father was angry with God of heaven. And we were basically handed over to Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, who destroyed this temple and deported the people to Babylon. Why? Notice what they do here in this section. They told the whole story about the rebuilding. And then they also, when you go even deeper, look at what King Nebuchadnezzar did. He didn't just take seize of the land or seize of the cattle. He took the most valuable resource, the people. You got to always remember, no matter how people want to replace us with technology, the most valuable resource is the people. And then verse 13, however, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Babylon, King Cyrus issued a decree to rebuild this house of God. When you get to verse 13, they literally tell them, hey, you know what? You're worried about who gave us authority. Well, the authority came from King Cyrus himself. And he did this within his first year of his reign. And then let's talk about this decree. When the king gave a decree, it was a royal order. And the only way that king could get out of it, literally, was by the death of him. And as we get here, notice what happens. when they get to verse 14, it says he even removed from the temple of Babylon the silver and gold articles of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar had taken to the temple of Jerusalem and brought back to the temple of Babylon. Then King Cyrus gave them to a man named Shebezer, who had been appointed governor. So you got to, one, you have to see that King Cyrus was honored, and he gave an honor to this man to hold the actual temple valuable articles. And then, two, he had someone that he entrusted with the temple possessions. If you were that person, can you truly say that you could be entrusted to hold on to the temple valuables, the temple articles? And he told him, take these articles and go and deposit them in the temple of Jerusalem and rebuild the house of God on that site. So Shebezer came and laid the foundation of the house of God in Jerusalem. From that day to the present, it has been under construction, but is not yet finished. Let's look at the last key seed. Not only was he trusted, but he followed through with the directions. If God looked at you today, will God be able to say that you followed through on his directions just the way he gave them to you? And then I want you to look at the result when the people actually did what the Lord said, because the king, the Lord had the heart of the king. It said, now, if it pleases the king, let a search be made. Again, still being busybodies, they're trying to push the envelope. Let a search be made in the royal archives of Babylon to see if King Cyrus did, in fact, issue a decree to rebuild this house of God in Jerusalem. Then let the king send his decision in this matter. So let's break this down. Let's look at the wise words for this, because aren't these people something in the way they try to get in the middle of all of this? Wise word number one, the enemy saw that the first set of distractions and destroyers didn't work. So he sent another set. Yet we have to remember as believers that we have to be steadfast and keep on building. Then the second wise word, the enemy, he has no new tricks in his bag, not one. He only uses new players. So don't be the one who gets played out and get tossed out. Then let's look at the last wise word. Give your response with faith and facts. Make sure you don't include your emotions in the process. In this process, once we've seen these letters go back and forth, we're learning how literally they're being attacked on every side. And it seems like it's coming from people that you would be saying, we're here to help. I don't understand why you're doing this. But they're learning in this process that all they have to do is just state the facts, keep their faith, and keep their emotions out of it. Well, I've been Patrice, your lead seed so-and-so style. Make sure you join me next week as we get into the king's response. I can't wait to see what the king says after all these busybodies have been running around. Well, y'all know how this goes. Let's go and be great, because we are great, and our greatness is now. It no longer awaits. Have an amazing day. And don't forget to share with a friend.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcasts. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.